right. You are listening to The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And for those of you, if this is your first time tuning in, The Real World is UBC Film Society's radio segment where we talk about all things film-related. So not only do we host this radio show, but we also put on various film screenings throughout the week and have a lot more movie-related events. So for more info on those, whatever we got going on, follow our Instagram at UBC Film Society, and we hope to see you tomorrow night for our next screening, which is, let me see if I can, our screening tomorrow night, we've only got the one happening this week, it is Funeral Parade of Roses at 6 p.m., so we hope to see you there. And this week, we've got a very special sort of episode, because it is going to be Hannah's last episode of this year.
It's a little bit bittersweet, but I'll be back in September. And you know, I couldn't think of a better theme for this week to end it with,
so. Yeah, we're doing summer movies that remind us of summer, movies we're excited about coming out this summer. Overall, be a very fun summery time. But as per usual, we got some ads, so we're gonna run those, then we'll be right back.
If the feeling is right. What a beautiful day.
Yeah. Are you hungry?
I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town, but don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
Is the simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's RIDEON Bike Shop. See you there.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
All right. So, we're back for the final episode with Hannah and Emma for the year. And we're going to be kicking it off with some summer movies. So we're going to be starting with a very iconic summer movie, which is Dirty Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually recommended this one, Hannah, for this episode. And I had never seen it before. So I watched it a few nights ago and I loved it.
Okay, that's awesome.
Oh my God. I think like watching Jennifer Grey in this film genuinely is like one of the hottest women to ever walk this earth. Like, I had to start taking breaks. Like, every scene, I was pausing, being like, whew.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was so well done. Like, when did you first see this movie?
So, I've only seen it once, and I think I saw it when I was, like, 16. So, it's been a little bit, but it is so iconic. And it was one of those, the reason I recommend it is actually my roommate, his mom was visiting. And she was hanging out with us, and I was like, hey, like, what movies are summer movies to you guys? And I kind of had like a short list in my head, and I feel like I was like, yeah, that I feel like that's a summer movie, but I don't know if other people would think of it as one. And she immediately was like, oh, Dirty Dancing. So then I was like, okay, I think I have to. Yeah, like if two people say it, then
yeah.
But yeah, no, it's so it has been a little bit since I've watched it, but it's just like the whole, like the setting obviously takes place during the summer, but like the setting is just so like you want to be there. I feel like that's something that's very like characteristic of a summer movie is like it makes you want to be there.
Absolutely. And you this know? Movie like it was it's so I think part of like the appeal for me is how vibrant it is, like especially when Baby goes to like the Dirty Dancing competition for the first time. It's all like neon, like, everyone's wearing such bright colors. It's like such a standout color palette. Like I feel like you do get a lot of the bright colors just like in the 80s, but that didn't always come through in the movies, I find. So it's really cool to see that they really leaned into it with this one.
Yeah, and it makes sense too. Like it's not like, I mean, obviously It's not like it's a modern movie playing the 80s, but it doesn't feel like super like it's trying so hard to be like this is what it looked like. It's like, oh well, they're at a dance competition, like they're gonna be dressed like this, you know?
Yeah. And I think like another thing I really enjoyed about it was kind of how I think part of this is probably because it was like a female screenwriter, but the fact that all of the female characters are also like fleshed out, like even the side characters, like Lisa and Penny aren't these like one dimensional, like normally I feel like they'd be like sort of antagonistic forces, like, you know, the sister and then like the sort of like ex-girlfriend, like those would like normally be cast as these like people getting in Baby's way and
very like adversarial.
And like what Lisa does, like she only gets in her way in like the way that like siblings do, like, you know, there's no like real malice behind it. You're like, okay, this is like two sisters squabbling. Like, there's like even like the family dynamic is so well fleshed out, like examining like how like there's that one scene where Lisa's like, oh, you're just jealous of me because now dad listens to what I say and that sort of thing. It's like just playing out like, okay, like, you know, Lisa really wants her dad's attention. She's not getting it. But then Baby gets her dad's attention and kind of like takes it for granted.
Yeah. Like it's very like no one is being mean, quote unquote, just to be mean or to like only for the sake of Baby's development. It's like, oh, everyone has their own reasons for acting the way that they do.
Like they're all very much like fleshed out characters. And even like Penny, like how much I really appreciate how much empathy is given to her and like her abortion storyline. Like it's never treated as like a moral failing or whatever that she's decided to get this abortion. And it's not even like that idea isn't even presented and then shot down the film. Like it's just like, okay, she's going to get an abortion. We're going to help her out however we can, which considering like this is, you know, the 80s, like I know there's a lot of other movies around that time that are just absolutely not dealing with the topic of abortion in such a nuanced way. And I think a lot of that is probably due to the fact that there isn't as much like female representation for screenwriters and like being able to like pull from that. Like I feel like there's a lot of empathy towards the female characters, even though their goals are different than Baby's. Their goals are belittled.
Yes, and I feel like you're right, like you don't often see that. Like not like especially for women characters, it's like they have to always be at odds with each other, and then maybe at the end it's like, oh, actually we can all do our own thing and it's not gonna be the end of the world. But it's nice when that's the like throughout the whole story,
because
that's how it is in real life. Like not everyone is chasing the same thing, but
exactly. But I think like for how nuanced this film is. I feel like it often gets reduced down to just being like sexy dance movie,
yeah.
which is like kind of, I went in being like, okay, this is sexy dance movie. And it was like, whoa, this is like, why are we like actually exploring a whole bunch of different topics?
Yeah.
Like, even between like Johnny and Baby, like this idea of like tension coming from their different like social standings. Like, oh, can you overcome that sort of like tension that mm-hmm. seems to be like inherent in the positions of like instructor and like guest at the resort?
Yeah.
So I thought that was like there are a lot of different angles being approached here. I feel like it does get dismissed as kind of like almost because it is like it has this romance, like, which almost, it's not a subplot, but it feels like there's so many other compelling plots going on that's like mm-hmm. I thought the romance would way eclipse all of them, but it just, it feels almost like incidental, like it happens yeah. very naturally.
Yes. No, I agree. I think like when I first watched it, like, I was like, oh, it's just, like, a very, like, iconic, like, romance movie.
Yeah.
I did not, like, expect what it actually yeah. is, you know?
No, totally. Like, I was fully anticipating for this to just be, like, another, like, I don't even know, like, Notting Hill or something. We're like, okay, this is just, like...
Oh, like, romance. An odd pairing, what, like, mm-hmm. kind of thing, yeah.
yeah.
I know. Well, and everyone knows, like, the lift.
Yeah.
The lift. Have you ever tried to do that with your friends? Because I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Peter.
Oh yeah, I'm
we've
sure.
tried.
I'm sure it went just as well as it did in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Oh, you'd win the competition.
100%. Come on. But I think it's like, yeah, it has so many like iconic scenes and moments that it's so easy
yeah.
to just be like, oh, that's all the movie is. Or if you know that moment, you've seen the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like there's no point in watching it, but.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's interesting because I was reading that, like, that iconic, like, lift scene, they never really rehearsed that. They just did it on the day of the shoot. Like,
really?
One take and done.
That actually, that's, like, a little bit crazy, but it also yeah. makes sense because it does seem like one of those things where, like, you'd only be able to do it once.
Yeah.
And then every time after that you try to replicate it, it would never
yeah.
live up to the first time that you did it.
Oh, yeah. So I think that, like, kind of just speaks to the whole film as, like, its most iconic moment was probably not at all thought out, like,
yeah.
It was planned, but it wasn't ever really practiced beforehand. But then
yeah.
all of these other little threads that they've woven in, like, about, like, the abortion storyline, like, her family, and, like, all of this, like, other nuanced stuff just totally gets brushed under the rug when we talk about it. And
mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of, like, quote-unquote, like, girls' films sort of get reduced down to this, like, oh, it's just, you know, chicks just want to see Patrick Swayze shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, but there's so much more to this movie that you're missing out on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. No, I know you're just talking about how, like, the lift scene is not the most important thing, but I did have a question. Do you know, because I don't know, I'm just trying to find out, was it actually Patrick Swayze and Jennifer?
Yes,
yeah?
That was a big thing in this, is that they wanted dancers who were also actors.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want, like, because Flashdance was, like, the other big movie that was kind of drawing a lot of comparisons at the time, and they used, like, body doubles for Flashdance.
Like,
they had the dancers and they had the actors.
Yes.
And when they were casting Patrick Swayze, it actually said on his resume he wouldn't dance because of, like, a knee injury.
Oh.
But then he ended up going through that anyways. I think he re-injured his knee, like, in the scene where they were, like, doing the, like, balancing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, he actually
oh, no.
like, re-injured his knee. He had to get, like, fluid drained from it and
oh,
stuff.
My.
Like, this set was, like, dancers were passing out. Apparently the lake was, like, freezing cold. It was
oh
just,
my
like,
God.
Like, 2 months over, so they had to, like, spray all the leaves green. So it was just, like, it's one of those, like, 80s
what?
Ones where it's just mishap after mishap.
Of course.
And then even in, like, distribution, when they started screening it, one of the distributors was like, oh, yeah, just burn the VHS and collect the insurance. Like, this isn't going to do anything.
Oh, my God.
Which, like, you know, I bet he's kicking himself now because...
Yeah, I mean, here we are talking about it, and it's 2025.
Yeah, I think, like, it's also insane, like, just, I don't know how, the like, small the cast feels, like, how intimate it is. Like, I know there's a ton of, like, extras, but I feel like they really, like, make this effort to flesh out all of the different, like, side characters. Like,
mm-hmm.
not to the extent of the main characters, obviously, but, like, you feel like you kind of get a sense of the world with a pretty limited, like, cast, which I appreciate.
Yeah. And my memory is a little fuzzy on
yeah.
details like that, but that does sound right. Like, what you were saying earlier about how each character, like, has their own motivations.
Yeah.
I think that really is a big part of that,
yeah.
where they don't just feel like they're side characters, mm-hmm. but they're not just like thrown in there to be like, yeah. oh yeah, by the way, like I feel like a lot of movies too, when it's like a sibling relationship, mm-hmm. it's either like super like they like hate each other for, and you're like, why do you, yeah.
Why do you beef so crazy, guys?
Or it's just like, oh yeah, like she has a sister.
Yeah.
And then it's never, it's not really not necessary.
Yeah.
Because it's like, doesn't contribute at all to anything in the story, yeah. but this is absolutely not either of those.
Oh yeah. So. Well, it's kind of interesting, like considering the other like big Jennifer Grey film was like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like
yeah.
it's another like kind of nuanced sibling relationship. And I know her and Matthew Broderick are actually dating during this movie, so he is a cameo in this film.
Oh my god, does he?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely have to watch again for him because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is it like really?
It's really
quick, blink and you'll miss
I think.
It.
Yeah, I only knew because I like saw it afterwards in like the trivia section. Like I didn't like actually like clock him in the film.
Oh, okay.
So I think it is very much like background Matthew.
That's funny.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I know you love, I was gonna say, because yeah. you love Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It.
And we've talked about it before.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of your favorite movies, correct? Yeah. So
Letterboxd.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously in this Jennifer Grey plays a main character.
Yeah.
So it's she has a lot more time, like screen yeah. time in this movie, and is a lot more like important. Yeah. But What do you think as part of her filmography? Are you gonna try and watch more Jennifer Grey films after this?
Oh, absolutely! Like, I think this is definitely just pushing me down a Jennifer Grey rabbit hole. I think I got some summer questing to do.
Like, well, that's what the goal was.
Oh yeah,
get you started on a summer movie.
I was gonna say, like, what makes this a summer movie for you?
I think it is just like what I said, like the whole vibe of like the like club country. Club,
yeah.
I guess, yeah, and like with the lake and everything, like mm-hmm. it just looks very like, oh, like I want to be learning how to dance
yeah.
at a country club, and like it's nice out and I'm with my family, even if we're like arguing all the time, like it's
yeah.
still, it's very like, I don't know, it just works so well.
That's so true.
It has a like a very warm feeling to it.
Yeah. And not to mention like an absolutely iconic soundtrack.
Well, yes,
like I mean, I don't think I even have to introduce the song we're going to play. Like, everyone knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. Well, I'll give it a little.
We should introduce anyways.
Yeah. Just in case you've been, you know, living under a rock for the past little bit. This is, of course, I've Had the Time of My Life, popularized by this movie. Not written for it, but best known
well,
from it.
Well, actually.
Was it?
It says won the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
Maybe it was.
So.
I could be spreading this information on air.
Yes, I bear with me. I think it was.
Huge day for me. I'm learning. This is beautiful. So original song for the movie, I've Had the Time of My Life from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Here it is. You know it. You love it. Let's play it.
Now I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
I'm so long now, I finally found someone to stand by me.
We saw the writing on the wall as we felt this magical fantasy.
Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand, cause we seem to understand. Just remember,
you're the one thing
I can't keep enough of.
So I'll tell you something.
This could be love, because I had the time of my life.
it's the truth, and I hope it'll be you.
All right, that was I've Had the Time of My Life, which in the break we did some research. It was written for the movie, so there you go. You learn something new every day. And speaking of something new, we're going to be moving on to
a more recent
film, which is La Chimera.
Wow.
Which I know you saw it for the first time last
Literally
night.
Last night.
So this is fresh in your mind.
Like, so good.
Initial thoughts, reactions to this work of art?
Oh my, okay. First of all, I've been wanting to watch this since it came out, but I didn't get to see it in theaters. I don't even know if it was playing in like Calgary or Vancouver.
I think it might have had like a very brief like indie.
Yeah, like super limited release. I didn't get to see it in theaters. I wanted to. I love Josh O'Connor.
Yeah. I mean,
Josh O'Connor, if you're listening. Hi.
I'm just in the top four. Are yeah, we surprised?
Yeah. But anyways, I had been wanting to watch it because I heard it was like, you know, everyone was like, it's so refreshing. It's yeah. so, it's unique. It's actually like, you know, we hear a lot about like, oh, there's only sequels coming out. There's only reboots. There's only this.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is truly like something totally new.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to watch it for a really long time. And then this was, it's really funny actually, because I made a list on Letterboxd of movies that I wanted to watch this spring summer season. Yeah. And this was the first one I put on there. And I was like, okay, like I'll watch it in the summer. And then you were like, okay, what should we talk about for this episode? How about La Chimera? Like, have you seen it? And I'm like, No, I have not, but you don't have to like convince me at all. And so I think it's perfect. Like, it is interesting, though, because I think it is a summer movie. And now having watched it, but also, like, not in some ways. And I'll talk about that more later. But I really loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so beautiful.
Know,
first of all,
right?
Like, the cinematography, the colors.
The colors.
Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. And, okay, loved. I really loved the story. Mm-hmm. I do feel like, okay, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes, I think.
It's long.
I feel like they could have shaved off like a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's not like, in general, I have like pretty much like no critique of this film. Just, I loved it. Yeah, gorgeous colors. I love the look of it. Like the, you
like
know,
the film it's, grain.
Yeah. And also the, there's no corners, like the rounded corners, like the film stock that they use. I don't know. But or I don't know if that was like something they did in post, but it was so. I just loved it. It just had such a unique feel.
Yeah. Like, the whole thing, it really feels like out of time almost.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And I feel like so much of it is tied up with this like sense of like looking back and being stuck in the past. It's like, oh, you know, Josh O'Connor's character, like Arthur, he's, you know, this archaeologist like looking for his missing wife who's like only real talent is for finding these tombs. It's like he's just forever getting like tied up with the past. And like even like in the final scene, like where he gets buried in the tomb.
Don't.
Oh my gosh. It's just
the ending. Whoa. Okay, everybody, if you, mom, anybody listening that hasn't seen this movie, plug your ears. I'm not really going to spoil it, but oh my God. The ending? What the heck?
Yeah.
Wow. But like beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like that was like actually the most perfect way that they could have ended that.
Yeah.
I think.
No, it's absolutely like a gorgeous ending for a gorgeous film. And it's
oh
like,
oh my God.
It just all feels so like kind of inevitable. In a
yes.
way.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It's the only way it could have ended.
Yes, exactly. Because it happened and I was like, oh my God, wait, like this is so sad.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, I can't see any other resolution that would, like, I think anything else I would have kind of been like, oh, okay, like, well, then what? Then what? Like, are we, you know, this seems like truly, like, this is the conclusion. And I, I really applaud that, because I feel like sometimes it's hard for movies to
stick the
landing. Yeah, and like this really does, I think.
Oh yeah, no, this sticks the landing and then some.
Yes,
I think like I also really enjoyed kind of like how these little like side quests like Archer were going.
Yeah,
just like helps build up this little like communal house for like the women and the children in this train station. Like I feel like that it was like the 2 hours 11 minutes. It was definitely a bit rough. For me, like, I am a 90-minute girly, as I've mentioned before, as I will mention again. So I think, like, the time is used well, if only, like, I would say, like, cutting it down, like, maybe drop it to, like, 2 hours.
Like, yeah. I agree. Can I? Sorry, I feel I interrupted you.
You saw it way more recently, so you probably have way more thoughts on this than I do.
Well, yeah, just about the runtime. I feel like it wasn't, like, as I was watching it, being like, oh, this is slow.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time while I was watching it, I was like, oh, I'm enjoying like every minute of this. And I did not, I feel like, you know, it's so embarrassing to admit, but I think everyone is at this point now pretty much where like, you know, you're watching a movie like at home, not in a theater.
Yeah.
And you're like, let me just look at my phone. Let me just look at my phone. Yeah. I get distracted, but this movie, not once did I feel like, yes, like I never was like, oh, I'm getting bored. Let me like, so I don't think it ever like necessarily dragged, but I do feel like maybe like as a whole, I'm like, okay, yeah, you could probably make this a little bit shorter.
Like I think in retrospect, like it's the sort of film where it's like, okay, if I had to watch this again, I think I would struggle a little bit with it, just knowing where those like moments of slowness happen. But I feel like it is kind of like just how Alice Rohrwacher is like, how she's inclined to tell the film, like the story. And like I honestly, I wouldn't want something snappy. Like I'm torn between wanting something that would hold my attention better and just appreciating it for how it is and how it rolls out and how it feels like this very, like it does feel very mythological and like
this
blurring of like, it's almost like a magical realism feel.
I know, I was thinking like, the same thing.
I think something I would like compare it to is like, although like Bird is a lot more overt in its magic realism, like just how kind of unexplained.
Yes, but I love when, I have said this so many times, I love when a movie is like not just telling you exactly what's going on. Yeah. And like, I think at the end, I definitely was like, okay, okay. Like I need to, that. So what was real? What was not? What was, and I really like to, I think while I was watching this, there's kind of this, I guess this can go in with like what we're talking about time and the past as well. It's like, what is kind of like a memory versus what's like a dream or like almost a premonition, one could say.
Like,
and I love that.
Oh yeah. Like I think Arthur's premonitions are a really interesting sort of like narrative device, and how like no matter, like he isn't really trying to escape the past. He's very much letting himself be like
buried in this
past. But I feel like there's also like this thing, this sense of like he's constantly just being dragged back to it. So it's kind of this like acceptance of destiny almost.
Yeah.
In a way that feels very like tragic in a mythological sense. Like I keep like hammering this home, but I really enjoyed like the kind of Orpheus Eurydice parallels, this idea of like, you know, you can never look back and like that.
I didn't think about that. Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah, I think like this film is just like it's told with so much intention and like care that it's like it just makes me want to read like academic articles on it. Like my ass was on JSTOR after
oh
my god. Yeah,
well like, you should check again now because there's definitely been some more people writing about it.
I love like a movie that like makes me feel like a like certified like cinephile, you know.
So yeah,
like yeah, give me like some like black and white and smoke a little cigarette and
be like, my gosh,
this is an analysis of the themes, you know, the Grecian parallels to our modern day society. Like this is just I also find it really cool how I was looking like online where I'm doing my little research and the director intended this as part of a triptych with two of her other films.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. But I'm not familiar with any of her other work.
Me
so
either. So it's like I can't speak to how it functions in that sense, but I know those two also kind of explore our relationship with the past. So
okay.
I'd be interested to see how they construe it versus this one. Maybe it's like sort of like this like past, present, future on like a continuum, because I think this is very firmly rooted in the past.
Past, yeah.
To my understanding, this takes place like modern day.
I wasn't sure.
That's the thing.
That's like, the other
it's
thing.
Very out of time. Like, even like Arthur, like as a character, you look at him and he's like wearing this old suit and you're like, oh, is this like a sort of...
He looks good in that suit.
He does. But Josh O'Connor, looking good in anything, I'll say. But it's like, it's a sort of like intentional like...
1980. It takes place in 1980.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I was going to say, if like, but even then, like, how we weren't immediately able to, like, grasp, like,
yeah.
Even comparing to, like, Dirty Dancing, you look at that, mm-hmm. And you're like, that's it. This is the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, like, visually marked like that. And I feel like part of that is helped by the fact that it's in, like, this Italian countryside. Like, the town almost seems, like, out of time as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real, like, they have this, like, all these, like, old festivals going on. But then, like, there's sort of more modern parties. It's, like, they're kind of, like, fluctuating between, like, the present and the past in a way that's really sort of interesting, like, blurring these lines.
Yeah. Sometimes.
What happened and what will happen.
Yeah. Sometimes I do wonder if that's, like, a very, like, North American, like, Canadian way of, like, thinking. Because it's, like, oh, it's, like, in Europe or, you know, somewhere that has a lot longer history than Canada. And does it automatically just feel older? But then it is taking place in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. But yeah, no, I love when a movie does that too. Because I remember like when we were talking about Twin Peaks, I said like there's kind of times in Twin Peaks where you're like, when is this is this taking place in the 90s or like is this some other like imaginary time, you know, but like vaguely 60s. I don't know, but I love when a movie does that, and I feel like this has that same kind of quality.
No, totally. Like this is very, it's very timeless. Like I feel like you could, it feels like some movie that I picked up at like a secondhand like
store. Oh my gosh,
just like put on a whim.
Yes. And then you're like, what is this masterpiece? It's like it literally could be unearthed from a tomb.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it's I loved it. And I you said like, you know, if you watched it again, you might be a little bit like, okay, like, you know, but I do really want to watch it again. Just because I feel like also like there's so many themes going on, like you said, time. I think there's also I really liked the kind of thread of I really liked the thread with the women and this idea of like a society like of only women, and that was, oh my god, and then with the statue, like everything just was so, and I feel like there were so many like choices that the director Alice Rohrwacher made that I just was like, you keep making the right choices, you keep making the right choices. And it just all came together, like, so beautifully. And, you know, we were talking about, like, oh, if you could shave off 10 minutes. But I'm really glad that, like, this wasn't, you know, I think it was Neon that distributed it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm really glad that no one was like, okay, you need to get this down to 2 hours.
For release,
Like,
I'm glad. It feels like everything that she wanted to realize was realized.
Yes.
And I appreciate that she was given that space to kind of let this meander. For me, that's kind of what makes this a summer film. Like, for me, summer is when I can sit down and be like, okay, where are these long kind of winding movies? Like, you know, it's like 4 p.m. It's too hot to do anything else.
Yes.
Lock me in the basement for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, with a fan pointing directly at your face.
Oh, yeah. Bowl of popcorn, Josh O'Connor on the screen for 2.5 hours. Done deal. So I feel like this is like, that's what really makes this for me.
Yeah.
Like, and you kind of look at it, and it just feels like hot.
Yes.
You look at the movie, you're like, this feels sticky.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Way. Well, it's like summer in Italy and he's always wearing this suit. And I'm like, dude, like,
I know that thing. Reeks.
Aren't you? Well, we're told that he's very stinky. makes sense. But yeah, no, it is interesting though. Cause like, I think there's some elements of it that are like so summer to me.
Yeah.
Like the salt spray of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And the hot, hot sun that you're constantly seeing, and like the cobblestone streets, it's all very like summery.
Yeah.
But there are also some moments that I think, it's not that they're like not, that they're like not summer, but they just don't, I don't know, like when they're in the forest and there's all the dead leaves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of grays and browns.
That's definitely more like fall,
it's bright
winter feel,
but it's also not, and I think that ties into the whole like it kind of exists outside of time, and I don't know, I really loved it, but it definitely is very summery, and I feel like one of the most like, or a couple of the most like summery moments in the movie I think are the beginning when he's on the train.
Yes.
And he's leaning against the window and he's asleep, and you can just feel like the sticky air.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I won't spoil anything, but on the boat.
Yes, that's very what I was thinking.
On the boat, and also the, I won't say who, but the yellow jumpsuit, mm-hmm. and then the shot from in the water.
Yes.
Was so summery. Oh, it made me want to, like, it made me want an Italian summer, as people say. but yeah.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Watch this
movie. If you haven't seen it already, get on it. I think it's on, like, Amazon to rent.
Yep, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's well worth your money. I cannot recommend enough.
And yes.
To sort of round it out, we'll play you a little taste of the soundtrack just to really give you a feel of how this movie, how it sounds.
I really loved the music as well.
Yeah.
There, no, I don't know. So I don't know. Varied, like, I don't know which one you're playing, but I really loved the one that was. Well, I'll see if it's the one.
Yeah.
But like when there's the kind of like the montage of him like
doing his stuff,
doing all the digging and stuff.
It's been a hot minute.
Okay.
Well, so I can't remember exactly where this plays.
Okay. But we'll play it afterwards, and I'll get back to you guys.
All right. This is Tampico by Tito Puente and his orchestra from the La Chimera soundtrack. All right, so that was Tampico by Tito Puente and his orchestra. I don't know, was it the one you were thinking of?
It was not, but I'll find it by the end of the episode.
Beautiful. A banger nonetheless, a banger nonetheless. And, you know, for more bangers not like that one, watch La Chimera. Just watch it.
Watch it. It's so good.
Cannot recommend enough.
Now, so good. And I'm not going to make any promises, but maybe we should watch her other two films.
Oh, yeah.
And then we could talk about all three next year.
Nice little, like, triptych going. Possible episode teaser. Guess you guys will have to tune in again next year to find out.
Yeah.
But speaking of next year, our last segment is going to be on both a movie of yesteryear and the movies of tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the Muppets movie, the 1979 one, and our anticipated releases for this summer.
Yeah.
It's a fun little way to end off the episode. So we'll kick it off strong with some Muppets moments. Because I know it's been a hot minute since you've seen this movie.
Yeah. So, okay. When you said the Muppet movie, I thought you meant like the 2014 one or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, love, Am I a Man or a Muppet? Like, that's such a good song. But then you were like, oh, we're talking about this one, right? And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I need to say, first of all, I love the Muppets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything.
Is it as an entity? I adore them, yeah.
I have literally been obsessed with them forever. Mm-hmm. When I was in elementary school, the secretary at my school, she was a big Muppet fan. She had like a Kermit like stuffy on her desk, and I was like, "Oh my god, I love Kermit." And we like bonded over the Muppets, and she loaned me the Muppet Show, or like the original like Muppet Show. She had the DVDs. And so I like watched some of the episodes. I also remember having like the DVD of Muppets in Space.
Oh, such a banger. Freaky ass movie. It's so good.
Yes, so weird. Gonzo just doing his thing. And then like watching like all the subsequent Muppet movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so I do I think I have seen
this. If you've seen all the other ones, you've
I've probably seen this. But yeah, like I just love the Muppets. I own and I bought this. Well, probably when I was in elementary school. Let's say like grade 4.
Yeah.
I bought this. I have the Muppet Encyclopedia.
Ooh.
It's a book
Lock your windows.
Oh my god. Yeah, oh, you know where I live. This is not good for me. But it has every Muppet in it. And like a biography.
Beautiful. Actually,
fun fact.
Oh
yeah.
My God. The fun fact is I love all of them.
This is my pride. Yes. This is my pride and joy. And I've like brought this book up so many times because like, okay, if someone asks me who's your favorite Muppet, which I will be asking you, I have an answer. But like other people don't have an answer. And yeah, I'm like,
that's
what?
Crazy. I'm
brought.
Never gonna guess what question I had brought.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. But Oh my God. No, I brought this book to work in this last summer, actually, because we were talking about Muppets, and I was like, okay, well, we're flipping through this book, and you guys are picking your favorite Muppet, because...
Yeah. You gotta be making, like, those educated, like, answers.
Yeah.
You gotta know the options.
Do your research, but moral of the story is I love the Muppets.
Yes. No, me too. Like, I think a big part of, like, what makes it such a summer film for me is this feeling of nostalgia, because, like, when I was younger... My parents got, like, all the Muppets movies out in DVD from the library.
Yes.
So I just, like, have, like, this vivid memory of one week where it was just, like, Muppet extravaganza.
Yeah,
like,
Muppet Mania.
Muppet Mania. Huge. Like, every night was a different Muppet movie. And it was, like, just for me, that's, like, the peak of, like, a good sort of summer film. It's, like, okay, it feels, like, cozy to watch.
Yeah.
You know? But not cozy in, like, I'm wearing a sweater way. It's, like, cozy in, like,
cozy in, like, I don't know. I'm thinking, like, summer cozy.
Yeah.
Is, like...
Like, you're out and, like, it's sunny, but it's not too warm.
It's not too hot.
Like, a popsicle. There's some, like, watermelon action happening.
Ooh, now I want watermelon.
I love watermelon.
This is just going to turn into us. We love the Muppets. We love watermelon. We love summer.
Yeah, 10 things we love.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, I think, like, and part of what makes this movie, like, stand up for me, because, like, I watched it fairly recently. I think grade 11 or grade 12.
Yeah.
Is that, like... It's got this sense of humor that's, like, almost, like, I'm watching, I'm like, why is it low-key postmodern? Like, why watching this? I'm like, why is it, like, a postmodern masterpiece?
Okay.
Like, why is this, like, it's, like, self-reflexive in this way that it's, like, it doesn't come off as, like, snarky or, like, it's trying to, like, make itself, like, it's not taking itself seriously. It's, like, it's taking itself so seriously, but it's so, like, dead comedic that you're, like, okay, this is just, it's so endearing. Like,
yes, well, that's the thing is, like, I think the Muppets are just, like, so... And, like, Jim Henson, like, so genuine in everything that they do, like, that it couldn't come across as, like, anything else. And even so, even when it's, like, you know, like, more, like, deadpan kind of, like you said, very, like, self-reflexive, like, very self-aware and not afraid to make fun of itself while still being very, like, serious in a way. It just works so well because it's like, it doesn't seem snarky.
Yeah.
It's just like,
Like you were saying, it's so genuine. It's so rooted in this like love. Like it's Kermit and he's going out and he's finding his family and finding his friends. And it's like just anything that has like this sort of like physical like sensation to it. Or it's like, okay, like the Muppets or claymation. It's like, you know, there has to be so much love behind it because it's so labor intensive.
Yes.
Which I think it just like, it really shines through like in these Jim Henson projects. You're like, God, like someone loved love these Muppets so much, and like love these characters, and just spent so much time making these like endearing figures that have like persisted for so long. And like, I could yap about the Muppets all day.
Muppets will never die.
Literally. Like, when's the next Muppet movie coming out? That's all I gotta say. Because I'll be seated. I'm already seated.
Yeah.
But
I love the Muppets. I think you're right. It's this nostalgia, and also like this very like road trip movie.
I love a road trip movie.
It's so like summer.
Yeah.
It's so quintessential summer.
It's like you're going on a trip with your family.
Yeah.
Right? It just feels like, you know, maybe I am Kermit in this situation.
Right.
You know? But speaking of Muppets. Favorite Muppet.
Okay, I feel like moment of truth. We maybe have talked about this.
It's definitely come up. This is like talking about like soup with me. Like it's something that will come up after like 5 minutes.
Emma loves soup.
Huge soup fan.
Okay, wait. I feel like I know yours, but I don't want to like take that moment from you.
No, guess.
Is it Animal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very predictable.
Boom. Okay, got it. Should I say mine? I feel like mine is like less like.
No, I feel like I'm curious to see if. Who your favorite is matches up with who I have in my head. Who's your favorite?
Scooter.
Yes.
No way. Is that actually what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking. I'm like,
shut up.
Be one of the little like side freaks.
Yes, it's Scooter. He's a stage manager of the Muppet Theater. He is a nepo baby because his uncle, I think, owns the theater. But
goddamn, he isn't the hardest worker there.
Oh, hello. He never like he always looks so stressed.
Yeah,
and he's carrying his little clipboard and he has his little satin jacket. And his glasses.
Dripped out.
I love Scooter.
Yeah.
And I feel like that makes sense for us.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense.
You guys can't see us, but if you could, you'd go. Yeah.
Just picture Scooter and Animal.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
That's the secret of the real world. We are Muppets.
We are Muppets. We should. What am I saying? I was like, we should do a Muppet episode where we're like Muppets. But then again, you guys can't see us.
But you just have to imagine. We're like, like Waldorf and Stadler. But like,
oh my God. But also like. We're just nice. Like, we never, like, mean
positive.
To anything.
Yeah. Except for Slapshot.
Well, that's...
I will be mean to that.
Yeah. Okay, wait. We need a Muppet hockey movie.
Huge. We need a Muppet every
Yeah, movie. I love when I see those things that are, like, what would you, like...
Muppetify?
And, like, who would be, like, the one human?
I love those.
I love those. Oh, my God. Okay, we need a... That can be another episode for next year.
But with Muppets.
Oh my God. Wait, that would work so well if it's literally like Josh O'Connor and then like the whole like crew is Muppets.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Wait, I'm literally. No, Spartaco's Uncle Deadly. Like, I've already got this locked in.
Alice Rohrwacher, I am calling you on the phone. Oh. I have a proposition.
Okay, we're doing it.
Huge.
We're doing it. But oh my God. But
speaking
yeah.
Speaking of other movies,
we should,
soon
we should.
To come out. Summer movies.
Okay.
Upcoming. Very excited. What are you thinking?
I mean,. The first one that I was going to say, and then I literally opened my phone and saw some kind of disappointing news about this, is Together.
Yeah.
The Alison Brie, Dave Franco, real life married couple, their movie, their sort of like horror film.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're getting sued because...
What?
Yes, because the plot is like nearly identical to another movie that... I guess the two of them had been offered the script and then they turned it down and now they're making this. So I'm like, what the heck?
Didn't this happen with the holdovers as well though? Like,
did it?
I think so. Like right before, like they got sued or like something came up. Where
okay.
Like, they like had this like screenplay like offered to them before or something like that.
Okay. Well, I'll need to do research
into
that.
Anything like ever came of it. Like it was like, it came up right before Oscar season. I remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, this is saying that the film is a blatant ripoff of Ooh. Better Half, a 2023 independent film.
Oh.
And it's stealing the concept and apparently, like, they say near verbatim references to certain concepts.
Damn.
And I guess they also said that they said the ending is the exact same. So, that kind of took away some of the excitement I was feeling, but I want to watch Better Half now.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's one good thing to come out of it, then hopefully Better Half gets a bit more
and
attention.
I don't know what to make of this, but we'll see how it resolves and then maybe we can still be excited about Together, but right now I'm like a little bit disappointed in that
because
the concept seems really interesting. And it's funny, like my mom was saying to me the other day, she's like, I feel like you're really watching a lot of like scary movies now, and I'm like, I don't know, am I? But I guess I was really looking forward to this. So,
that sucks. Yeah. Oh my God. Come on, guys. Be original.
literally. What are you thinking? Because that was my, like...
That was your big one?
Off the top of my head.
Ooh, I think, obviously, like, the Phoenician scheme.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I love a Wes Anderson moment. I loved Asteroid City. I was... The shorts were good, but I'm, like... For me, Wes Anderson is very, like, theater sort of guy. Like, when I watch, like, you know, I'm watching, like, 20-minute shorts on an airplane. It's not the same. Mm-hmm, so, very excited to get back in the theaters. Asteroid City was another very summer movie for me. So,
yeah.
I'm excited to see if this one hits the same vibes.
Yeah.
Life of Chuck.
Yes, I really want to see that.
Mike Flanagan.
Yes, so you were saying.
So excited to see what he does with this because, like, all
it's
of
supposed
spins,
to be, like, amazing.
Yeah, really?
Yes, I heard it's
I
really good.
I haven't heard, like, any, I haven't really been keeping up with it. I've just, like, oh, okay. I saw the trailer and I'm like, yeah.
I saw the trailer too and I was like, wait, like, why I want to see this.
Yeah. No, I think that one's going to be amazing. I'm really intrigued by, like, Highest to Lowest as well.
Oh, that's the
Spike Lee one.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
I love
Denzel.
High and Low. The Akira Kurosawa film.
Oh, so this I'm, is his remake.
Yeah.
Because what did he remake and people did not like it?
Ooh.
Something.
It was, yeah, I don't remember what it was. I haven't seen a lot of Spike Lee's movies.
Neither have
movies,
I.
But I'm interested to see what he does with this one because the trailer
okay.
is kind of cool.
Okay, I'll have to tune in.
Yeah.
Something else that I want to watch mm-hmm. is Materialists.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay.
Huge summer for Pedro Pascal. Like, this Eddington Fantastic Four, full off The Last of Us. Like, yep. Goddamn.
I love it. I love to see it.
Literally.
Yeah, for him, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then it's Celine Song, who at Past Lives is... I love Past Lives.
I think I was initially, like, when I saw the promo photos and stuff, I was really excited for it. But I watched the trailer and I wasn't.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just I'm less of a rom-com kind of person. And it kind of leaned a bit more into that. I was hoping for more of maybe, like, ooh, this interesting, like, critique of, like, materialism and, like, wealth and, like, that sort of thing, which maybe it still will be. Like, it very much, I will probably still see it.
Yeah.
But I just think it's not the top of my list right now.
Yeah. I think, like, I really like the look of it.
Yes.
Visually so far.
Stunning.
And I kind of agree with you because I was like, oh, okay, like, I don't know what the vibe of this movie is going to be.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer, it is like, wow, like, this is a rom-com. Everyone was talking about it in the YouTube comment section. They're like, oh, my God, like, trailer narration is back.
Yeah.
Because it has the, like, narrator that's very, like, I don't know the character's name. But it's like, blah, blah, blah is blah, blah, blah. You know, like, we're what a narrator does. But I don't know. Like, I am intrigued because I feel like it is, it feels fresh. Yeah. In some ways, and then in other ways, I'm like, wait, like, what is this? What story is this gonna tell? Like, this could be really predictable.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it's not.
Yeah, because that'd be kind of like, I feel like there's also a lot of pressure on
someone to follow up
after Past Lives. Like, yes. I'm kind of surprised that she is putting out another one so fast, considering how long it took her to do Past Lives and, like, her background as a playwright. Like, I kind of thought that would be it. Like, okay, Past Lives is her one foray into film, and then she goes back to theater and, like, that sort of thing, unless she, like, really feels compelled. Like, sort of like a Donna Tartt moment where it's, like, she puts out, like, one book every, like, however many years, and it's, like, whoa.
Masterpiece. Yeah, because it's, like, everything that she makes is, like, oh, this is her best work. This is her best work. So it'll be interesting. Like, you're right, following it up so fast.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of pressure.
100%. And also, because her husband is also a screenwriter who wrote Challengers.
Yeah.
So you have that. I feel like they're a little bit in competition with each other, I feel. But, I mean, it's, like, same audience. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's me.
Got me seated. But speaking of, like, prolific directors, I guess, Eddington, another Pedro Pascal film. Very intrigued by that because I haven't really seen the Ari Aster films.
Neither have I.
Like, this one's really looks so interesting. I just love cowboy stuff, so.
Yeah, I love that, like, aesthetic. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know when that comes out, but maybe we can time it with Stampede.
Oh, huge. In our cowboy hats.
Yes, in our white hats. But yeah, I do want to watch that. And I've never really wanted to watch an Ari Aster film because even though my mom was like, you like scary movies, not that.
Not
that
hereditary.
Is too far.
Yeah.
I can't do it. What I do is I just read the entire plot on Wikipedia. So I know everything that happens in these movies.
I can engage in conversation around it, but without scaring myself.
Yes. But I do want to see this because it does feel very different.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued.
Yeah. And, like, on horror, like, 28 years later, the trailer is so incredibly well done. And I'm so excited that Danny Boyle is coming back because I know he didn't do 28 weeks later, but he did 28 okay. days later, which is, as a zombie movie, very good.
Okay. Haven't seen any of them.
I recommend it. It's very, like, very interesting, very realistic take on a zombie apocalypse. Like, it's okay. very unconventional. So I think the 28 years trailer is just such a strong trailer. Like, it has, like, this eerie, like, ominous sense to it that's just beyond. Like, I think that, like, having this poem being narrated over top is just such, like, it's so freaky. Have you seen that trailer?
No. I'll watch it.
So it's just, like, spine chilling. So I'm very excited for this one. Aaron Taylor Johnson's in it as well.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Incentive, guys. That one, very excited for that. And then, you know, to round out, Pedro Pascal, Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. Will be. Like, I'll watch it. I'll watch it just for him.
I'll go see it with my dad, you know?
Like, yes, that sort of that's thing. Perfect. Perfect movie to
and,
go
like,
see through.
With Thunderbolts being, like, pretty good.
Like, I didn't watch it.
It's definitely, it's not, like, up to, like, Endgame standards, but it's better than, like, Captain America Brave New World. So it's kind of like, we're not so back, we're not so gone. We're okay. so.
Happy-ish medium.
Yeah, like, it's, like, it's, on the it's up. Holding a status quo. I'm kind of like, okay, this is, like, a fun superhero movie I don't have to think about.
Okay.
But, like, it's not, like, slop. It's not great.
I feel like Fantastic Four will be fun because it looks, like, so stylized.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know what? That's, let's do it.
Yeah.
One more that I want to offer. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Baby.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Have you?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Eva Victor.
I'm excited.
Writer, director, and star. It's her debut.
Ooh.
It looks really good. I watched the trailer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, I really want to watch this. Like, it seems very, it's like about friendship and mm-hmm. trauma, and it just seems so, like, realistic, even from just the trailer. Like, it's like, oh, you know, we've talked about this kind of thing a lot, I think, where it's like, mm-hmm. these people actually seem like friends, or these people actually seem like they know each other. Yeah. And that's the sense that I get from just the trailer alone. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes, I totally forgot about them. But yeah, I'm definitely pumped to see that.
Yeah.
But all in all, lots of great summer releases coming this way. And if none of those were up to your taste, you know, La Chimera, Muppets Movie, Dirty Dancing, they're all there. They're all options for you to watch this summer. And that pretty much brings us to the end of time.
I think so.
Is crazy. So Hannah, thank you for an excellent year. I'll be around for another few episodes before I jet off for the summer, but this is...
You'll be having a sort of La Chimera summer.
Yes.
Not...
Sort of, hopefully less getting buried, but, you know, definitely some Italy.
That's what I like to hear. Exactly. Thank you guys. It's been such a fun few months, my first few months. And I can't wait to be back in September and... we'll be cooking up some good things for you guys, as always.
We'll be chefing it up over the summer. The real world will be back better than ever in September.
Speaking of chefing it up, not a movie, but The Bear Season 4 comes out on June 25th. So that's something I'll be watching this summer. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've been Emma.
And I've been Hannah.
And this has been The Real World. So I will see you guys next week at the usual time. Hannah, we'll see you guys next year. Possibly at a different time, depending on how the radio gods... go with our time slots.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
As per usual, follow the Instagram for all the updates. Hopefully see you tomorrow at the screening. See you guys.
See ya.